All right, all right, all right, Habs fans, hockey fans, near and far, a brand new episode of the Curfew Boys podcast. Myself, Sammy, with Mr. Florida Man Anthony, and my cousin Chris.
You know.
Hey now, what's happening?
I feel like you're in Florida like every other day, Anthony. And looking at that tan of yours, I'm getting a bit jealous.
Tan and burnt, but I'm good.
Tan and burnt?
I'm burning up. I'm in Florida for March break. I've been here. It's a week now. I have another week and a bit more left.
Excuse us. My goodness. Yeah.
Hey, it's home away from home. It's home away from home for me.
If it makes you feel better, home is getting warmer, like your actual home is getting warmer.
Well, that's the goal, right? I leave when it was cold and snowy. I'm in the warm heat, and I come back when everything is melted. That's what my hope is. But like they say, all Italians, mazzo e pazzo, which is March is crazy. There's always that one more snowfall, and I guarantee it's going to happen the day I land.
Probably.
So everybody, if you're listening to this episode, March 13 is when I land. I believe on the 14th is going to be a big snowstorm.
Blizzard all over the place. Power outages. Hydro-Québec is going to go fucking crazy. People are going to complain. We're gonna blame François Legault again, rightfully so. but if that happens, Anthony, I swear to God, I'm going to fucking die of laughter.
There's always that one more snowstorm in March, but it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. With the heat coming in, it's going to melt the day after. So
that is true. Boys, before we get... Actually, hold on. Chris, you came back from vacay too. You're always in fucking the Central America. You seem to be hanging around there a little bit lately.
Yeah. Yeah. It has nothing to do that I work in pharmaceuticals. Completely two different things. Just let me specify those two. No, I was down in Cuba. I just needed to stick my head in the sand and decompress for a week, and that went great. Honestly, I don't know if it's the lighting, but I got pretty cooked too. Like I came back as a lobster. I'm shedding skin like crazy. It's pretty bad, but it was a great week of vacation, much needed, and happy to be back. Missed the Canadians, but I definitely didn't miss the games. I think they lost every single one of the games while it was gone. So it was a good week to.
Yeah, and then you come back. They beat Arizona, the one game we couldn't win, but we'll get to that later. Listen, boys, before we begin this episode, just reminding all our listeners and viewers, thanks for tuning in. If you're new to our YouTube channel, please like and subscribe. It is free. Tell your friends about us. If you have Habs fans across the world, give the Curfew Boys a shout. Have them follow us. It's the only way to spread the love. All our episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other Google Podcasts out there. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, those are the three platforms I know we use consistently. You could definitely find us there. During the episodes, if you want to be part of the conversation, you know, leave us a comment. We'll be happy to chat with you all. So listen, while we're on the subject of Florida, look, we're going to talk about the last two games the Montreal Canadiens played. Obviously the first one against the Florida Panthers, and I do believe not that I believe it or not, but Anthony was there. He was live in the flesh in, I forgot what the name of the arena is in Florida.
Arians Bank Arena.
Yeah, that's it. So, was that your first time there?
Yes, it was my first. So every time I come to Florida, I've always wanted to watch a Habs game here in Florida, but I always miss it by either a week or, you know, last time I came, they showed up maybe 3 days after I left, came back home. I always miss it. This is the first time I come to Florida, and I was actually here when the Habs were playing the Panthers. So I bought tickets right away. I went to the game. It was a great experience, let me tell you. I mean, watching a game. So I spoke to you guys in the afternoon saying that I wanted to wear shorts to this game, right? Because I've always wanted to go watch a Florida game in shorts and a T-shirt, feel like all Floridy and at this game. And I was reading up online about how to dress at the stadium.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's Florida. there's an ice rink. They might put the air conditioning full blast so it could keep the ice frozen. I don't know. So a lot of people were writing, oh, don't worry, you can wear a t-shirt and jeans. Or some people were writing, oh, wear a hoodie and jeans. Like, you got to warm up, dress up. So I said, you know what? I'm going to meet them halfway. I'm going to wear a t-shirt and jeans. Biggest mistake of my life. Biggest mistake of my life. I couldn't wait to leave. From the moment I walked in to the moment I left. Thank God the third period was interesting and exciting and kept me on my feet. As you guys all know, we'll get into that third period later on. But because of that, that's what kept me alive and going. But I was frozen from beginning to end, like to the point where I couldn't feel my toes. I went to a Buffalo Bills game in the freaking minus 30 weather. Okay, watching the Patriots and Bills. Minus 30 outside with two hats. I was warmer at that game than this game here in Florida.
But how much alcohol did you drink at that Bills Patriots game?
No, I didn't drink at all. Did not drink that game because it was so cold. I had my gloves on the whole time, like thick ass gloves. This game, I had a couple of White Claws. Yes, it's a white girl drink. But anyways, it was very good. Maybe I have to cut that out or edit it for.
No. It's a white girl drink. Okay. No problem.
Okay. Anyways, all this to say, this is a very cold arena. If any listeners out there want to go watch a game in Florida, please wear a hoodie, a toque, a scarf, boots, wear it all because it is freaking cold in that arena.
Full winter jacket, dude.
Full winter jacket, everything.
You're supposed to be Canadian, Ad. Come on.
At the Bell Center is warmer than this fucking arena, let me tell you. I was so cold that I went to the pro shop. I was ready to buy a $150 Florida Panthers hoodie just to
stay warm.
But it was ugly. Also, what about it? But anyways, besides being cold, I just want to say this. I don't know if any of our listeners watched my story after the game, but I just want to count our blessings that we have an amazing fan base here in Montreal, and the passion that we have. Us Montrealers, even though like we have the bipolar ones that one day we love the Habs, the next day we hate them.
That's part of the passion.
That's part of the passion, right? And we've always said Montreal is the hockey city. You know, the vibe that we have at the Bell Center, there's no other place to be besides the Bell Center. Yes, it's nice to experience other arenas just to experience it, but once you experience the Bell Center, you don't want to experience anything else. This arena was so quiet. The warm-ups, there was no music.
Really?
It was so quiet.
Wow.
Okay, there was no music during the warm-ups. I think one of the RDS comment on Twitter, he posted it saying, how do they do warm-ups without music or whatever it was. One of the reporters.
I didn't see that. Okay, interesting.
Oh, God.
So already that was a bit awkward. Yeah. I'm telling you, this game felt so awkward being there. Like, I'm at the warm-up. There was a bunch of Montrealers. Like 80% of the stadium was Montreal.
Yeah, exactly. It's all Quebecers. Exactly.
But it's just, again, the vibe there was so, like, the music, even, like, during the game, between whistles, you know, there's always things happening on the screen at the Bell Center, dance cam, the kiss cam, make some noise, the wave. Literally, there was nothing all game. Really? I think second period, there was a dance competition for, like, 15 seconds, but that's it. That's all. There was no DJ. There was no music. The vibe was crap. Even like during the game, there was no excitement to the fans. When Florida scored, as if they scored, whoopie-doo, they scored, the horn went on, and that's it. All that to say, it was just a very awkward vibe. Very awkward vibe.
But see, that pisses me off because you look at technical difficulties for Chris. I'm sure he's going to come back. If you look, if you were to take the Florida Panthers roster and switch it to the Montreal and switch them as a Montreal Canadiens. Now, I'm just like us in Montreal, we would kill to have a roster almost identical to what the Florida Panthers have. And if we did, like, we already sell out every year. I swear the Bell Center would we already know, guys. We already know how
let me say this.
If we had the Florida Panthers roster, we'd be the best fucking arena and then some in this league. this
Reinhardt scored his 40th goal this game. The 40th goal. There was no standing ovation, nothing. No standing ovation or anything. They announced it. So they didn't even announce it on the screen. They just said his 40th of the season, whatever. Like, I'm sorry, but if a Habs player would hit 30, there'll be a standing ovation for like the whole period.
Like everybody would be up on their feet. And we're not being biased. We're being honest that it's in Montreal, whenever there's a milestone reached, you're getting at least, if you're not getting a standing O, you're getting a loud cheer from the entire arena. Mm-hmm. And you know that's making me believe, and I'm not going to open up the can of worms, but like I don't think the market of Florida is bad, because listen, let's be honest, they've been to Stanley Cup Finals, it's twice now, which is kind of rare for a Florida team unless you're the Tampa Bay Lightning.
You would think that
you know what it sounds like. But you want to know what it sounds like. The reason why they're not is because it feels like such a boring experience in this arena. Now, why would the fans pay? I don't know how cheap it was, the tickets, but like I don't think they cost as much as
$100. $100, and I was the 20th row. You saw how good my seats were.
Yeah, your seats. So like okay. Anyways, let's give or take. It was what, $100 American or Canadian?
Okay, you obviously US. So do the conversion. It was $130. Seats in the Bell Center is $400.
Yeah, if a scalper resells them, look, I saw tickets online, actual tickets that are not being resold, like within the Reds, $126, $130, and you're like you're mid level in the Reds in the lower bowl, which is not bad.
Oh, the reason I would why jump on the tickets right away.
They're solo tickets, and we'll see. But my point in all that is that it seems like it's just the overall fan experience is not taken into account in this arena. And that's why it's empty. But like, unless somebody realizes, like, I don't know if you fucking replace the DJ, replace whoever's in charge of marketing this team, whoever's in charge of like the entertainment section of this arena. You know what I mean? Because like the game itself, the game, especially this game, Montreal versus the Panthers, was fucking entertaining.
Remove the Habs fans, half the stadium is empty, right? So, like, I don't know. You're right. This market, like, and I think it's not only Florida. I think it's, again, and you hear Bettman wanting to add two new teams to expand you're bringing the market to the, like, you're bringing this league to the wrong markets. And it's just unfortunate. You said it, Sam. Like, I would die to have a team like Florida Panthers. And just imagine, right? The Habs don't have a they're not shit now. They're getting better. But they have a shit team, right? And we're still selling out. We're still loud at the Bell Center. We're still having fun at the games, even when we lose. Mm-hmm. And you compare it to a Florida Panthers team who's projected to go to the Stanley Cup Finals again with the team that they have.
They have a very good chance, yeah.
And they have an entertaining team, a very good team. And the fan base is just twirling their thumbs at the game. And the stadium is nice. It's a beautiful stadium. They put a lot of money in there. There was bars at every section outside, nice pubs. Like, you could even go to the game and not even watch the game. Just watch it in these pubs because they had TVs everywhere. It was like very mini casual sports in every section.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
You know, and again, it was just an awkward experience. You know, I felt really awkward. Like, no one was dancing, no one was screaming. I was just trying to get into the pool.
But maybe it's because they need a better DJ or something, or like a better program just to get the fans involved. Because if you look at the Bell Center, that's what it is. Like, the music's good, but there's always these make some noise. They're always filming everybody in the crowd.
Even their entrance. They just had a video.
Yeah, we have the best
fucking. There was nothing on the ice.
Greatest thing ever. Oh, anyways. But let's get into the game. But honestly, I was expecting them to get a beating. I was expecting them to get pushed around by guys like Sam Bennett, by Matthew Tkachuk. The boys kept it together. They were able to keep up with this Florida team, and
they were.
And in all honesty, like it's so funny how we lost five in a row. We lose five in a row, excuse me. We win against Arizona. Now we lost two in a row in shootout against two of the best teams in the league. And if you look at if you look at the span of those games, the only game we won was one of our worst games against Arizona. And these last two games we lost was one of our were one of our best games, at least of the month of February.
Yep.
So it listen, it's to be expected with this season the way it's gone. It's the consistently inconsistent mode that this team is in. But you're hoping for a high performance from the key players, once again, who are the young future core guys, and they delivered. And dude, Nick Suzuki, I'm gonna say this, he's a legit number one centerman now. I think the debate is over. And ever since Sean Monahan got traded, Nick Suzuki took his leadership level to that next level. I think it highly has to do with learning whatever he could off of a guy like Sean Monahan. Now that Monahan is gone, even though a statement was made, listen, we're not fighting for a playoff spot, Nick Suzuki was like, boys, grab on. Grab on my shoulders because we're fucking taking off. And he's the Molson Cup winner for the month of February. He's what, second in scoring behind Connor McDavid for the month of February?
For goals, he was behind,
But at one point in points as well. Either way, goals, points behind guys like Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid, he's in good company. And,
yep.
Go, Chris. I know you have a few things to say about this game, but Nick
is
the man.
Look, I think there's been a lot of light shed, and you take anybody in the city, anybody who's working, dissecting the hockey games, the top line has been getting a lot of praise, and it's rightfully so. But I want to direct my attention. You know, Arbor Jack has had a lot of attention on him with regard to him fighting and everything, but especially that game against Florida. And Anthony, correct me if I'm wrong, because you probably got to see when the camera wasn't necessarily when they were maybe behind the play. But Arbor Jack, I completely shut down Matthew Tkachuk.
He kept him at bay.
It was amazing to see. Yeah. And honestly, that was arguably one of his best games that I've ever seen him play.
What a stretch pass to Suzuki. That pass. That too, unreal. Unreal. Yeah,
and that, like, we have our group, but we all have other friends and whatnot. And, you know, some of my other friends have said, oh, do we consider trading Jack Eye? I will continue to sign. Arbor Jack Eye is so important. I would not trade him. There are so many other defensemen that we have that I would trade. Arbor Jack Eye is so important. And I think I really want to go back to that Florida game. Like, rather than dissecting the score and the shootout and what happened and this and that, I think that was just one of our younger players shutting down one of the league's, better power forwards.
Yep.
And that was a real, like, he had one assist, I think, in the game, but he completely shut him down. He bullied him. He bullied him, and that's what playoff hockey is going to be. So if you want to take something out of the game, honestly, what Arbor Jack Eye was able to do in that game was spectacular. And seriously, that was probably the number one element that had me smiling for hours and days following.
Sam, go. I'm gonna say two things. One, let's go back to a few episodes ago. Chris and I had in regards. Oh, he's leaving. He's losing his connection. I need him in this.
You need him there. Okay.
I need him in this conversation. So Sam, say what you have to say when Chris comes back.
It obviously has to do with Arbor Jack Eye. When Rodriguez ran over, accidentally or not, he still ran over Sam Montembeau. And then you saw Jack Eye go after him. And it looked like Rodriguez was hiding behind the referee. So to me, there's two things I take out of this is that Arbor Jack Eye learned his lesson from going down to Laval, is that not to take these unnecessary, over emotional, want to fight penalties. Let's put those into quotations. That showed me he learned his lesson, because even if the ref was there, if Jacki really wanted to fight Rodriguez for running over Montembeau, he would have gone after him. But instead, he probably threw a verbal warning, be like, listen, let me say this, Ant. He also said, he's like, there was a certain point of the game we were tied. He didn't say these words exactly, but he goes, I couldn't go after him and take an unnecessary penalty. That to me shows a level of maturity that he's learning off of not only getting sent down to Laval, but Marty a couple of times making him a healthy scratch, and Marty showing him had to probably give him a bit of that tough love. It's like, listen, if you want to stay in this league and in this lineup, you're going to have to learn how to pick your moments, pick your battles, pun intended. And in a lesser way that I'm saying this, like, smarten up in a lesser.
I agree with that. And I respect Jacki for doing what he did and backing off. But okay, Chris is back. A couple episodes ago, you and I, we spoke about bringing back fighting to the league, right? Like, can't take that away.
I was thinking about that today. How many players are talking about it? It's exploded.
No, but after that conversation we had, I don't know if you guys noticed, but there's a fight almost every night in almost every game going on in the league, right? It's everywhere. It's beautiful. It's like people are fighting. There's a lot of passion. The passion's coming back. Literally after our episode, that's all I've been seeing now. I don't know if it's a coincidence.
Well, Matt, what's his name? Rempe from New York.
That was beautiful. That was an awesome fight.
This kid's an animal.
But my point is, okay, so yes, we're seeing a lot more than that, which is great. But we're lacking that in our team, which gives other teams the opportunity to step all over us. Now, I love Jacki, and he's that guy, but it's not enough. I feel our team, I don't want to say this wrong way.
Anthony, answer me this then right away. Why is Pezzetta still a healthy scratch?
There we go, right?
Why? I don't know why.
Exactly. Look, just the Florida game. That hit on Montembeau, accident or not, okay? Mm-hmm. If it was any other team like the Rangers or Philadelphia or Boston, there'd be a brawl on the ice, okay? Not just one fucking player. The whole fucking team would jump on, okay? I'm sorry, but that's a truth.
Back in the good old days, yeah.
Let's go back towards the end of the game. When, and as much as we, and probably Joey would be like, oh, I'm happy he got hit, whatever, put that anger aside against Gallagher. But when Gallagher got that disgusting hit to the head.
Yeah. Okay, oh, and he lost it on the ref. Huh?
Not one player went to go defend that moment. Not one. Okay, maybe Jacki was on the bench, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be just one player. We need to have a team that's going to back each other up at any given time. And I just feel like our team is lacking that. And if we were to make the playoffs and we're missing that big portion of you know, exactly that, backing up our players when it's needed.
That Wolfpack mentality. Like, it is there, but the Gallagher hit, I'm kind of wondering why there wasn't that much of a response. And I don't think it has anything to do with Gallagher himself.
No, I don't think so, too. I hear
what you're saying. But also, guys, don't forget, and the Florida Panthers are back at the Bell Center on April 2nd. It's a Tuesday night.
Yes, guys, don't forget, but it hasn't happened at the moment.
Yeah, but, so, dude, yes, I agree in the moment. Send the message right away, but they're going to be in our building now next. And again, at that point, chances are there's nothing to fight for, but I agree with Ante what you're saying right now, and I expect them to go deliver that message the next time they face the Florida Panthers.
If we're going to try to build that Boston that Boston mentality that we all said that this team is looking like to be in the future, like the winning mentality of the Boston Bruins, Boston Bruins is not just about winning. It's also about being there for your team, right? Yeah. And backing each other. You don't have to be a Jacki to drop the gloves. You don't need to be, you know what I mean? Like, everybody needs to be there for each other. And I'm sorry, that hit on Montembeau, that trip or whatever, was very similar to what we could have seen with Carey Price situation. And
fuck,
I'm sorry, but any other team, half the team would have been on the ice already, scrapping him out, mistake or not.
Okay, no. But you know what? I do see what you mean. I really do, and I do tend to agree with that. But I still think Jacki would have actually roughed him around if the ref wasn't there. I at least like to think. I mean, who knows? Because maybe the ref was there. who knows? But yeah. I still, but if this is a way for
the play after, you know, the moment later after the next play,
maybe,
you know? But yeah,
yeah, but tie game, you get the instigator, you get 10 minutes out of the game too. It's like, it's at the same time too, you're in that moment of the game where it's like, do you really as a player want to be 5 minutes in the box when you could be used on the ice to maybe beat this team? So there's many different ways that, like, look, we're not players, like we don't know what's going, like, but I'm sure you have to be aware of that, and that comes with time and maturity. And so I'm just happy to hear that Jack has, like, I had to pick my battles in this one, and it wasn't the right time for me. Like, he didn't say in those words, but you read along the lines, like, that's what he was saying, and I'm so happy to hear that from him, because that was one of the reasons why he got sent down in the first place. And you know what? It could have been one of the reasons why he was in and out of the lineup. You know, yeah, it helps. Yeah, you had Harris injured. Then you got Struble injured. I get it. But he's taking advantage of his opportunities. And the kid's playing well. And he's shooting 107 miles an hour fucking slap shots at the Bell Center competitions. Like, his last 2-3 goals were fucking rippers off the point. Kid's got a shot. He's using. You could see the confidence coming back, and it's great to see. Because I agree with Chris. Like, he's gonna be such an important part of this team. Like, even if he drops a bit in the depth chart and becomes a number four, number five, or even a number six, like, the fact that he's still there is significant enough.
Yeah.
So
yeah, mark it down. Take our bet on this side of things. Arvid Jacki, again, for the sixth time, is going to be a key piece of the Montreal Canadiens blue line when they're going to be going to compete for the cup. And I think the more that this team is going to evolve, I want to also go and touch upon two points that Anthony brought up, but going to play for the cup and playing in the playoffs and just the progression of his own career, I think Arvid Jacki is going to end up fighting less and less. I think, then going back to Anthony's point, I think we are going to have more players in the lineup that are going to be more responsive. And I hate, like, it's not that I hate to say it. I'm actually very much looking forward to it. But when guys like, sorry to say, but when Tanner Pearson, and I know Christian Dvorak is out, Joel Armia, I'm sorry to say, but for such a big frame, he's a big push around. He doesn't throw around his body, doesn't make any real statements towards other teams, and they're the type of player that he doesn't.
That was never his game. Yeah, that wasn't his game.
I don't expect, and I hope Habs fans understand when I say that Armia, he was never a fighter. He's not a fighter, but of course, it would be his fucking brother, but Florian Jacki, when he's going to come here, if that type of a player ends up playing for the Montreal Canadiens, there's already a second person who's going to be reacting in a split second to
you know who else?
To jump in and fight.
Yeah, you know who else? I don't expect him to fight, but throw his body around.
Oh, Luke Tuck. Yes, I was just about to say. Yeah.
I hope we see those two in the future on like a fourth line role, just a fourth line grinder role. I hope we see those two.
100%. And I think that is going to change over time. I think, Anthony, don't worry. That's naturally going to happen when the team is going to get more competitive. And the other thing too is, you know, it's going to sound ridiculous, but even with Kirby Dach in the lineup, he's not a fighter. He doesn't do anything, but he's just such a big body in comparison to a player like Gallagher, to a player with a smaller stature, that sometimes, you know, we saw him lay out Gudas and then like stare him down. We literally saw that happen, and it doesn't mean that he's a tough player. It just means that he has the capacity. He's a lot more likely to knock.
Oh no, Chris, pay your bills. Yeah, but anyways, he'll be back, obviously. But yeah, I agree, and it's not so much about your capability of fighting. It's just being able to withstand the physicality of the game and just being mentally tough as well. Like that's what it comes down to. So
sorry guys, I don't know what the hell is going on. It's my computer, because it's clearly not my internet. I've switched between multiple, but look, all this, I wanted to say one last thing. I am so happy. I don't have a crystal ball or anything, like that, but I'm so happy to see fighting coming back. And it's funny, we said that it's going to engage fans emotionally, and look, fans are giving Rempe a standing ovation in warm-up. In warm-up, like, do we not understand? And again, we don't want, but I do not want random-ass fighters who cannot play the game of hockey in the game.
I think that style of enforcer is gone. I think now guys that could drop the gloves are guys that could actually still play hockey.
I just want the passion back. We just want the passion back in this game, because you can tell this league was losing it. We need to bring it back. You know, perfect example of what we said before about the stadium being very quiet when you have a good, talented team on the ice and no fans are watching this game or passion to be there. But if you bring back entertainment to this, sorry, not entertainment, because I don't want to use that word, because entertainment is like WWE or whatever, but if you bring back the passion, players on the ice who want to play, who are fighting for something more than just themselves, like, you want to bring that back. And unfortunately, it's not that I want to promote violence. It's not that at all. I don't want violence. It's you want to see, how do you say it in a way where it doesn't sound like I want fighting? Like,
but it's okay. But it's part of the game. It's always been part of the game. We're allowed to say that we want fighting to stay in the game of hockey. But and again, we're not gonna have these. Let me retract this. Yeah, stage fighting is gonna happen, but a lot of the times the reason why fights happen is because there were cheap shots that were done to somebody else or to somebody that's might be one of the best players on the team. And if you take away fighting, I'm telling you all, the cheap shots are going to go up, and you know what else is going to go up? Concussions are going to go up. Only
the league is dead if the fighting is removed. I'm telling you right now.
Of course, I totally agree.
Taking away fighting, you're removing passion to the team, to the game.
All that to say is, yeah, to end off on the Florida Panthers game, it's like, it's just, even Motown Bowl, like, fuck, he got deked the shit out of in that shootout. I don't think that Reinhardt goal should have ever gone in, but like that was all obviously a beautiful shot. Yeah. But if you notice, Motombo goes down just a little too early, exposing a bit of the top corner opening, and Reinhardt just fucking sniper shot that in there.
Just to conclude Florida's overall game, I think the Habs beat themselves because let's go to that second period. The first 10 minutes,
you guys noticed
there was only two shots on net. Okay.
Yeah, that's
mind
true.
You, there was three power plays for fucking Florida, so they were in the offensive zone the whole first 10 minutes of the game. But the third period, we were in the power play many times. We had two or three power plays.
Yeah,
like we could have finished the game. Like, we could have sealed the game in the third period with those power plays, and we just didn't. And I think we beat ourselves. We went to overtime, and they had a penalty, right? If I'm mistaken, no, that was with the sorry. Confused. That was with
Tampa. No, that was Tampa that was Bay. Yeah, which.
But
which,
I think which, I think the yeah. I think the Florida Panthers game, we beat ourselves. We had a lot of opportunities to seal the game when we took the lead at 3-2. We had the momentum on our hands. Like, the second period was shit. Like, after Slafkovsky's 0.7 second goal.
Oh my god, that's true. Huh? That was amazing. Those are my favorite goals. Those are my favorite goals
that,
in the world.
That brought the momentum back. Yeah.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
That moment, because we had a shitty second period. After that goal, the third period, the team came out strong.
Changed everything.
We played amazing in the third period. We just didn't capitalize in the power plays, which beat ourselves because we kept a lead and then we lost the lead. And then, shootout is anybody's game, right?
Yeah, exactly that. And it's almost, I don't know about you, but I felt like the Tampa game was very similar. And again, I was expecting them to really get a beating because Primo was in nets against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he held his own, man. The kid could play in this league. The kid belongs in the NHL, man. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be a starter, but he could be a good backup goalie. He held his own, and the
he's
team
proved,
themselves
he's proved himself this season. He's proved himself.
He's yeah, but he's got because he's got to play. And in order to play, somebody's got to go.
Yeah,
and we'll get to that after. But I mean, I was watching the game at work, and so a couple of times I you know, like we had to leave for calls, right? So I missed a couple of plays, and I'm missing where Chris is like, just be like, fucking Nikita Kucherov, the like, and then I didn't see the play, but I heard Kate, like I heard that Kaden Gooley destroyed him. I didn't even see the highlight, but apparently he delivered a hit on Kucherov, and Kucherov like kind of skated off the ice type of deal.
No, Kucherov just lost his footing, crashed into the boards.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and
yeah,
okay. I just, like I said, he's arguably the best player in the league because look at his points. It's not McDavid with Draisaitl putting up X amount of points. I think the difference between Nikita Kucherov and the next player on the Tampa Bay Lightning is like a difference of 40 points. So Kucherov is literally doing it on his own, and I have to give him credit for that. But he is such an arrogant piece of shit. When I saw him fall into the boards, it's just like the first thing that I'm thinking is karma and F you. And like I enjoy seeing that. And I'll never forget. And I just want to say it like this. I hate Tampa. I hate Tampa so much. And he's the face of my hatred. You know, they were $18 million over the cap. Yeah, call me a crybaby, call me whatever. It was the first time in my life I was able to see the Montreal Canadiens go to the Stanley Cup final. And then they have the most rigged team. They got through to the final. And then, you know what? You win, but win with a little decency. These fucking assholes. He has to go on drunk as a skunk and start ripping on Montreal fans because we celebrated our first Stanley Cup final win. Like, I would love nothing more than, like, when he fell into the boards, I was just like, nice.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I think that's the general narrative amongst Habs fans and their feelings towards Kucherov. But
was it me or he got booed in the shootout? Or were they saying Kuch?
Oh, no, there's no way they're booing Kucherov in their own arena.
It sounded like boos when he was doing the like, shootout.
Kuch.
Okay.
It's like Luongo, like when Robert Luongo would use to make a save. I always thought they were booing him. Like, why are they booing him? No, they're not booing him. They're going, Loo.
Yeah, okay. So it sounded like they were booing him. So I was like, what's going on here? But yeah.
No. But yeah, it's honestly the Tampa game. I noticed, if there's one thing I noticed in that game, Tampa Bay, Kaden Gooley is literally picking the brain of David Savard as much as possible. Because David Savard is a shot blocking machine. Kaden Gooley, these last two games, has been a shot blocking machine as well, and delivering hits and literally sacrificing his body on the penalty kill.
Can I say something that might sound very selfish?
Sure.
I don't know if it sounds selfish, but I actually don't want to get rid of Savard. And I know he's gaining a lot of value, and we might get something out of him. But until we have an established defense core where we don't need him anymore, he's the veteran. He's our veteran.
I say keep him.
I love the way he's playing.
He's got 1 year left. Keep him this year. You trade him next year at next year's trade deadline. Maybe because he's going to be another year older. I don't know if his value drops. But Kent Hughes right now is asking for either a first round pick or a first round prospect. So the demand already for him is high enough. Plus his contract, even though it's not expensive, there's still another year left. Nah, keep him. But honestly, I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't know what you guys think. We could talk about trade deadline that's coming up on Friday the 8th. I don't think Savard is going anywhere. Tanev went to Toronto. Tanev went to Dallas. Toronto got this Ilyubushkov guy, whatever his name is. I can't pronounce his name. I'm sorry. Butchered it. Sorry?
Who got fucking killed by Rempe in the first game and went off with a head injury?
Yeah, well, he got hit. He got it. That was a solid fucking hit. I mean, right now, the only defenseman is Noah Hanifin, again from Calgary, and maybe Jacob Chychrun. Unless there's other names out there that we haven't heard yet, I don't know. I think David Savard, like a team, I mean, that wants him.
If you want to get value out of him, it's now or never, right? Because
yeah,
it is now or never. Yeah, if maybe you want to get rid of, because next, like you said, he's getting a year older. I don't know if next year he's going to want him or the value is going to drop. So if you want high value for him, it's now or never. And I wouldn't mind I don't want a first round pick. I would rather get the first round draft prospect.
Yeah,
in my opinion, I'll be happy.
It's gonna be tough. That's gonna be 100%. Tough to get. Though. Look, as far as what I think is gonna happen is that Kent Hughes, he has his phone. It's on sound. It's on ringer. Gonna wait.
He's gonna play game.
He's gonna wait. He is not gonna be picking this up and dialing numbers and be like, "Hey, I got this guy for you." He's gonna just sit back, cross his arms, and wait for that phone to ring. Kent Hughes is in no rush to do anything. No rush to get rid of anybody anytime. I understand that maybe Jake Allen, but if it doesn't happen now, it's going to happen. He's going to do it before next season even is remotely in our thoughts, just to make sure that somebody out there has got an experienced goalie. Everybody knows who Jake Allen is. Whether his value is up or down, it stays the same. David Savard, too. Like, everybody knows who David Savard is at this point. I don't think his value is going to go either up or down. It's because he is who he is. Ooh. These guys are who they are, and nothing's going to change.
I honestly don't think anything's going to happen. I mean, if something was going to happen, it would have happened right now. I mean, what's three more days going to do? Add more value to Allen or Savard? No. So I think
exactly.
It's going to be a quiet offseason. It's going to be a quiet deadline for us.
For the Montreal Canadiens is, yeah.
I just genuinely hope, and Montreal Canadiens fans on the whole collectively owe David Savard an apology for the season that he's put out. But guys, on the business side of things, I completely disagree with you. I'd love to, like, in theory, I'd love to keep him, but absolutely the second that there's a first round draft pick that's offered for him, even if it comes without a prospect, I take it. I'd rather have those three first round picks this year, do something very interesting with them. And David Savard, I am not at his age, I am not rolling the dice that he comes to camp out of shape, that he has a rough start, that he's not, like, his value is a certainty. And in comparison to a guy like Nick Suzuki or Cole Caulfield, we're not trading them. And I'm just saying his value is a certainty right now. But he would be one of the last players that I would bet on to perform the exact same way next season. So strike while the iron's hot. Do it now. If they get, like Sammy said, I do agree with that point. The phone is right on the side. The right call comes through and there is a first round draft pick, please, Kent Hughes, go for it. Please.
Oh, I think he will, but I just don't think those offers are going to come in. But if there is an offer that comes in for a first round pick, you take it. You take it.
Run. Yeah.
I think we owe an apology to two players of this team. It's funny how how everything turned around for us. We shot on Montabon and Savard for the longest times. And now those are two hot players that we don't want to lose.
Add in a third player. I think we shat a lot on Primo and the kids showing that he could stay in this league.
So let's say apologize to Primo. We wanted out a long time ago. Savard, as soon as he signed him, we all said it was a political move and we fucking couldn't stand it.
That's true.
Montembeau was the guy we wanted to trade him for a bag of pucks. And now we want to keep Montembeau. We're calling him our number one goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Savard, our fucking veteran defenseman who we don't want to lose part of the core, and Primo, who we think that might be a good backup. It's crazy how things have changed. But, hey, I love seeing this.
It's the beauty about sports, and it gives us something to talk about. And Montembeau, I don't know, like, whatever work ethic he suddenly got. Well, I don't know if he suddenly got, but whatever he did after that very bad season, like, he's got to keep doing that. He's got to just keep working at it because it's working. Yeah, David Savard came into the Montreal Canadiens after a fucked up COVID season with no off season, probably no time to recover. Like the year that we fucking finished last, that year was just overall terrible for so many reasons. And one of them being that they go to the Stanley Cup Finals and then a month later, you're starting a new NHL season. A regular NHL season now. So there's just so much, like, the stars were aligned for a fucking disastrous season that year. And one of them is because of that. I think David Savard, him too, going to the finals with Tampa, beating us, that signing with Montreal, barely had an offseason to recover and to train. It was just, it was a disaster waiting for it to happen. But like, look how he turned the table, like Anthony said. But now, let's wrap this up with, I have a question for the both of you. Seeing where we are in the standings and the teams that are slowly catching up to us and kind of beating us in the standings, are we hoping for a tank, or are we hoping that we kind of still do our best to keep winning here?
So we're now at 56 points.
Yep.
Wild card is at 72. Yeah, forget about playoffs. It's that, that dream is over. I mean, look, we have 21 games left. Right? 21 games left.
Yep.
For the love of tanking, we got to tank. We really have to tank. It's okay. Time to go. And that's why it's trade away whatever we possibly can, gain assets. I think this is going to be one of our last years that we're going to be able to get a really high draft pick. I genuinely think as of next, maybe next year, if we're lucky, we get another top 10 pick. It would also be kind of unlucky because it would be another long year. But I genuinely think this is one of the last top 7 picks we're going to get in a long while.
Yeah,
so fall down to the
drop as much as possible and pray for a lottery win.
So just to paint you guys a picture here. So the Canadians are at 56 points. The Coyotes are behind us by 1 point. They're at 55 and they've won their last 2 games. The Ottawa Senators are behind us by 3 points. Columbus won tonight, so they're behind us by 4 points. Now, I don't expect the Anaheim Ducks, the San Jose Sharks, and the Chicago Blackhawks to catch up to us. Like, that's, they're finishing bottom three, and it's going to stay that way. But after that, it's Columbus with 52 points, and then there's us at 56. You know what I mean? Like, we could, I don't know. For the sake of drafting maybe that final piece that we're missing, and there's some good forwards in this draft coming up, I don't know.
Who's the top 3 picks this year? Like, are they top players or?
So Macklin Celebrini is definitely project number 1. But then after that, it could go to like Demidov or not Cole Iserman, but then there's a couple of defensemen too up there. There's like the Zane Pareca kid.
I hear you guys,
but guys, listen, if the Canadians, wherever they land, if all the top fours are gone and the Zane Pareca kid's available.
Okay. In that scenario, yes.
He's good. Like, he's fucking good. And he's a right-handed defenseman. And I know, listen, you don't have to tell me twice how loaded we are on defense. Not as much on the right side, but, you know.
Chile Hudson might play next year. I mean, no guarantees, but there's a good chance that there's a possibility that he can play next year.
I know, but this is why, if you get another first-round pick, package something to one of these teams to fucking go up. If you can, I know it's not NHL fucking 24 on PlayStation or Xbox, whatever you pick. But it's listen, I'm hoping for a forward. If they can't land Demidov, I hope they land Caden Lidstrom, who's another big fucking 6'4 left winger. So imagine if we draft this kid and we have Slafkovský on the first line. I'm just saying. We missed out on Brady Tkachuk. Maybe we should miss out on this kid. That's my hope, but we'll see what happens. I'm just saying, like, fuck, Columbus, the Columbus Blue Jackets are 4 points behind us. 4. And if we, like, I hate losing. But if the Canadians play well and lose for all the rest of the season,
look. Me,
I might be
this
happy.
Season, I'm at this stage in what we're 61 games in. you guys remember what I how I started episode one in this season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I said it. I'm not looking at playoffs. I'm not looking at anything. All I want to see this season is this team build chemistry together,
yeah,
build that experience, and see the improvements. And guess what? We saw it at Slavkovsky.
Yeah.
We're seeing it at Primo.
Yeah.
We've seen it. We see the consistency in Montabo, right? Because yeah, Montabo started, like we said, was Montabo's last season a fluke? Is he going to continue it? And guess what? He wasn't a fluke. Now he's showing us that he is our number one goalie. Primo, now from let's trade him for a bag of pucks to he's going to be our second goalie or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
So Koski, whoever we thought was going to be a flop, is proving that he's a fucking number one pick. Okay. Suzuki finally shining.
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to hit the 30, I hope. I mean,
oh, I hope injured, so. I think he could. 21 games.
You know, you think it's 8 goals left that he needs. If he doesn't get injured, he's hitting that 30. Okay.
Okay.
And good chance he could get close to 40 again if he doesn't get injured. So I know it's a long shot, 40, but 30 he's hitting if he stays healthy. So already, just by just those points I just mentioned, I am very happy. So to all our Habs fans out there listening to this episode and saying, you know, they're fed up of the losing, and guys, we're in a we're rebuilding, yes, but
well, Rome wasn't built in one day.
Exactly, but put the rebuilding mindset away. All you want to see is this team improve from bottom up. We have a young core who are starting to learn. This is how you build a team properly. And we're getting there. The ladder is moving up. And like Chris said, this may be the last season we will be at the bottom. Because I'm telling you right now, scenario or not, Joey, next season, this team will be competing to make playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not saying
competing to win the cup. They're
wild card spot. I'd say wild card spots.
Wild card playoffs. 100%.
Actually, Zouk.
It's happening next year.
Zouk said this. He sees Montreal kind of doing like the way Detroit's been battling this year for a wild card spot. He sees them kind of like playing like Detroit. The way that Detroit is playing now, he sees them playing kind of the same way next season. Now, I get Detroit, Patrick Kane, the Brinkett, and all that. They have a mixture of young guys and veterans. But I my hope is for the Canadiens to battle for a wild card spot, at least try to make it next season.
Yep. And this is what we all should be excited for.
Yeah.
So again, I'm in full agreement with the tank. I think bottom five in the league is reasonable. I think they should be playing Jake Allen a little bit more often to achieve that goal until he's potentially traded. Go for every possible draft pick to you know, potentially move up in the draft if that need be. Like, there's only so many draft picks that we can have. Might be a very, very good time to actually package it to move up one or two spots potentially. I think this year we're also getting a forward no matter what. I genuinely think, like, Mishkov, they clearly weren't ready to take that risk with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I genuinely think that's what we're missing at this point. Put the veteran forward aside, I think we're looking for like one of the more talented players. I think they actually might roll the dice on a more talented, more risky player this particular season and do whatever they possibly can to start losing. Seriously, I don't want to lose. I really don't want to lose, but I genuinely think this could be the end of the suffering. Everything is finally kind of just slotting into place. We're just missing another really, really talented forward to play with Kirby Dach, in my opinion.
Well, part of the progression, Anthony, let's add something to our progression. Like, you name Suzuki, you name Slavkovsky, but how about as a first line? We actually have a first line now.
We're going to have a dominant first line. It's going to be one of the most dominant lines in hockey in a few years.
And now that Chris said, you find someone, you build a second line around Kirby Dach. Jesus Christ, like, we might have a fucking sick top six. A sick top six. Say that 5 times as fast as you can.
Yes, my four years is coming to an end in 2 years.
Say what? Your what?
His four-year prediction of the Montreal Canadiens going and playing for the Cup is he's got 2 years left.
He's got 2 years left, and if the Canadiens have to fight for a Stanley Cup, not for a playoff, right?
Yeah. I said in 4 years we're winning the Cup. I said 3 years we're contending. So next year is the three-year mark.
So in 2 years, in two years we better be winning the Cup, or else.
2026 is the Cup win.
So you, that book I showed you guys about Draft Day, the book called Draft Day that I showed you guys. Okay.
Yeah.
I might have mentioned this before, but I'm going to mention this again. If you look back at all the Stanley Cup winning teams, I think if you go all the way back to 1995, I want to say. Not when Colorado won, but I think when Detroit won. Up until not last year, the Vegas Golden Knights are the exception to the rule. But if you look at every team that won the Cup, they had at least 10 players on their roster that were draft picks from that team. And then other players that were there, they were either young players they traded for, a la Kirby Doc or a la Alex Newhook, or a la Chris Draper with the Detroit Red Wings. But at least 10 players on that team were drafted by the team. Slavkovsky, Caulfield, whoever they're going to pick this year. Joshua Roy, Reinbacher. That's fine.
Lane Hudson,
Caden Gooley, Logan Mailloux, Owen Beck, if you guys still hear me on the mic.
Let's count Arbor Jacki, even though he wasn't drafted.
You know
Arbor
what?
Jacki is a product.
I would even go as far as saying I would probably even put Nick Suzuki on that list, because we didn't draft him. We traded for him, but he didn't play a single game for the Vegas Golden Knights. He got developed under our organization. And, you know, I mean, look, I will not add Alex Newhook to the list. Okay, Chris. I'm adding Nick Suzuki to that list because even though we didn't draft him, we developed him. I don't care.
100%.
For arguments, we won't add Nick Suzuki because he really did not get drafted by the Montreal Canadiens. Obviously, you're not adding Kirby Doc to that list, and you're obviously not adding Alex Newhook to the list.
Okay, sorry. I want to ask a question. I know we're wrapping things up, but trade deadline coming up in the offseason. There's like, what, four or five teams that are going to hit their cap next year. Like Toronto Maple Leafs, over cap, right?
Yeah.
And now, what do you like, Edmonton just signed who recently? Or is it Edmonton or Toronto? Toronto signed Nylander, that extension.
Yeah.
And then Edmonton recently signed someone, no?
Are you thinking of Elias? Yeah.
Sorry.
Vancouver. Elias Pettersson, yeah.
So all these teams who have these superstars – I can't afford to keep them next year and the year after. What do you think happens to them?
Well, it's their support players that we're going to pick off. Like a Zach Hyman, the way Edmonton was able to scoop up Zach Hyman and make him one of their key players, that was because Toronto mismanaged their cap. And that's what's going to end up happening. Toronto, if they don't win it this year, hope to God that they don't. But if Toronto doesn't win it this year, that team is going to get pillaged. They have nothing left. They have absolutely nothing. And they're going to have to restart with draft picks.
But they've
Toronto's been competing and finishing top 10 in the league for years. Their draft pool is garbage. They don't have, like, Matthew Nyes. Ooh, wow, he's so good. Like, he's the only decent young player that they have up and coming out of their whole organization. That organization is garbage, and they're going to lose, again, all of their supporting players. Even look at Kerfoot. Like, Kerfoot was another great support player, another good third, fourth liner for them. Like, I don't know how the hell, like, Toronto's progressively, in my mind, getting worse as the years go along, and thank God for it. But you take all these other teams, and all their good support players are just going to disappear and go somewhere else. Tampa Bay Lightning. Yanni Gourde was lost for nothing in the expansion draft, but he went from being a third-line player, a support player, to a top-line player in Seattle. And that's exactly what we should expect. And that's exactly where we have to clear our shit out.
I'm on Cap Friendly right now. Out of 32 teams in the league, how many do you think are using their LTIR right now to help them with the cap flexibility?
I think at least 20 out of 30 teams, at least.
Not 20, but you're not far. There's
half. Less. 18. 16.
16 teams. 16 out of 32 are using their LTIR for a cap. That's half. And it includes Montreal with Carey Price's contract. That's half. Half of the fucking teams are using
perfect,
their LTIR.
Perfect timing for these two expansion teams that Bettman wants to bring in.
That could be one of it. But anyways, look, we're gonna wrap up this show. But you want Chris, you want Jake Allen in Nets? You got it. He's in Nets Tuesday night against the Nashville Predators, who are on an 8-game winning streak. Law of averages. I don't know. Make it 9 games, hopefully.
Hopefully
Arizona makes it a 3-game winning streak so they go over us. Hey, listen, to the audience, if you're here now, write in the comments, are you pro-tank or are you against tank? If you tank or no tank, just write that in the comments. I really
want
to know.
Or not the tank? That is the question.
That is the question. Gentlemen, we're going to call that a wrap. I think it's a wrap.
Yes, sir.
I think we're all tired.
The computer again, first and foremost.
Yeah. Just fucking throw it out the window.
Out the window.
So, yeah, just to remind our audience, thanks so much for tuning in. Please like and subscribe on YouTube. It is free. Tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can hear all our podcasts, audio format on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, any podcast platform. Thanks again for tuning in. Anthony, Chris, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. For being a part of this. This was episode 199.
One more.
Our next, we are one away from 200. And on that episode, we actually will be making some kind of pretty cool announcement, some special announcement. So don't miss it. Something you're going to want to see. If you play hockey, if you have skates, might be something you want to look into. So stand by for that. We can't wait to share that with you guys. Chris, Anthony, get some rest. Have a good night. Enjoy the game on Tuesday night. We'll definitely chat more about it. And until next time.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.